Black Sports Saturday is on the air.
And it's shaking big time.
Your chance to sound off.
On Sunday, I want to be able to sit down, watch the football game, and let the buddy that I disagree with politically and not have to talk about politics.
Join the show anytime, 701-271-1100.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls.
Or you can drop us a line, studio@flagfamily.com.
You don't have what they call the social skill.
It's time to talk sports.
It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Here on Flag Sports Saturday.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody here on the 5th of September in the year 2020 as we were in that final four-month stretch. We're starting off right now. I'm James McCarty. Jay Stenman sitting next to me. It looks like I may have screamed into the mic a little bit.
No, the headset volume was up a lot louder than I particularly need it. So whomever was sitting here before wanted a bit louder. So when you said, good morning, I went, yeah.
Well, it's good. It's a great morning.
I'm awake now.
Wake him up a little bit.
There we go. And we got Spencer Jost in there running the board for us. And we have a new phone system. So call in 701-271-1100, and hopefully we're able to get that figured out today. It'll be fun.
You sound real confident in it.
Well, it wasn't. I got a stern look right there. It was one thing where I wasn't thinking when I was saying it. And
it's good. It's new. It's fancy. It's
we're making some
got lots
today.
Of buttons.
Yeah, a lot of buttons.
There's more than the last one. I do know that. So
that's all that matters. How many buttons the phone system has?
Exactly. So we're gonna talk a little Twins, little Vikings. Of course, we have all of the good high school football action back as well. I'm excited about that.
A lot of good games last night.
There was some more scoring going on this week. You could tell a lot of those offenses were getting a clicking compared to the week one, little jitters and getting everything figured out in that sort. And, of course, a handful of moves being made by the Vikings. And, of course, Jace's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Making moves.
Made a big move. And I just don't know what you do with the riches. They have an embarrassment of riches on the offensive end now.
Look, you can only have 11 guys on the field.
You know what? They got 15 Pro Bowlers.
Not everybody can have Kevin Durant on their football team.
Did Tampa just sign him?
Didn't you see the meme Spencer and I were talking about?
I've seen it.
It says, breaking news, signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kevin Durant, and he's in a number 35 football jersey. So,
oh, my favorite one.
Don't know what position he's going to play, but
probably wide receiver.
Was with Denver and Utah, and Denver came back from the 3-1 deficit and won it. And he goes, hey, is there room on your roster for me to come and play over here in Denver? Oh, wait, nope. I forgot. I have a contract with Brooklyn. Let me know when you have the best record in the league, and I'll come skipping on over. And I was like, ouch. Wow, that was 10 minutes probably after that game was over. I was like, they are ruthless. All those fans are just attacking him.
Absolutely.
Man, oh, man. But we had a pretty good game yesterday. It was a good game in the first half, and it kind of, a lot of the talent for Cheyenne took over against North.
It really did. It was an impressive showing by them. It was also impressive in a sense that they were able to overcome a couple early mistakes that got Fargo North into the game against West Fargo Cheyenne last night. And then, that, like you said, that talent really shone through. And I can see why Cheyenne is one of the top teams in the eastern part of the state, and they'll be tough to beat come playoff time.
Exactly. And they're just clicking on all cylinders through two games. They have a three-headed horse, I would say, with Josh Hendricks, Bree Kapenu, and Gage Anderson. And then, of course, Grant Workentine. He had over 150
yards rushing
yesterday, and he's the quarterback to go. I mean, they had close to 300 yards rushing last night. I mean, it was just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, and going into the game last night, obviously I was kind of under the expectation that I was there to see Barik Penu. I think is he going to NDSU? Is he committed?
He has that verbal commit still, but as far as I'm aware, I haven't seen any dotted line sign, so, but that's the plan.
So I came there expecting to see some big things from him, to break some big runs. And he was, don't get me wrong, he was part of the offense, and he's a major weapon for him. But Hendricks, their fullback, was just a battering ram up the middle during the first part of the game. Gage Anderson, Swiss Army knife of a offensive player there, getting some rushes, getting some receptions, a big one that led on a touchdown drive. But then Grant Workentine kind of brought it all together, and he broke two big runs, a 59-yarder and a 43-yarder in the second half to really just salt everything away. So it was an impressive performance by the Mustangs, and you got to give credit to their defense. They kept Fargo North uncomfortable all night, and the only two scores that Fargo North got were after turnovers that set them up inside the red zone on both possessions.
Exactly, well said. I would honestly compare Josh Hendricks to, like, when we're watching, you know, back in the day, cartoons, whether it was the Roadrunner or what, something of that sort, when they pushed the boulder down a hill.
Yeah.
That is basically what Josh Hendricks was yesterday. Once he got going, there wasn't any stopping him until four or five guys tried to take him down. If you tried to take him down one-on-one, he was just going to throw you to the ground.
I would almost like him a little bit to like a Mike Allstott. You know, he's the fullback. He's a big power back, so he's got a different style. Gage Anderson, like I said, looks to me like he was more of a receiver getting some end-around type of sweeps.
Exactly.
Penu's their stud running back, and then Grant Workentine is that quarterback that's a mobile quarterback. And obviously that last touchdown run, you know, he cut back towards the middle. I thought that was not going to end well, but he made that cut back and made the safety turn his hips, and, you know, he was gone for six.
Exactly. Let's get to some scores, I think.
You do that.
That's exactly what we want. High school scores, professional scores, all the good stuff. The Saturday Morning Scoreboard is brought to you by Advanced Business Methods, your home for all the tools and office systems you need to make your team a winner. And the Arizona Diamondbacks' Andy Young got the start each of the last two evenings. Didn't do great at the plate. He went 1 of 7. He got an RBI. He's hitting the ball hard. It's just he's hitting them at everybody. Matt Strom on Thursday came and pitched what seems to be his infinite amount of scoreless innings against the Angels, getting another strikeout, because that's just what that man does. And an EDC football for 3A in town in Fargo here.
This Dave, local area?
Exactly. There was a word I had that just it wasn't coming out.
Just wait for the train to come back around.
Exactly.
It'll be all right.
Fargo Davies, they were up. It was a close game against Red River. They were up 22-16, kind of at the end of the third, going into the fourth, and the offense kicked it into gear in the fourth to take a 44-22 victory. As we said, West Fargo Cheyenne, they ended up pulling away. They won 42-14. That game was tied at 7, actually, with about 6-7 minutes until half, and then Cheyenne just put on the battering ram, and they ended up scoring 3 unanswered touchdowns to go up 28-7, and then that a little bit of a talent gap, I would almost say, just kind of took over for them against North. North, give them props, though. They didn't have all the penalties they did last week. They didn't have the delay of games. They weren't turning the football over. They just weren't able to sustain offensive drives. And as well, our CI Apparel player of the game last night was Grant Workentine, the quarterback there. He threw 2 touchdowns. He ran 2 in himself, and those 2 he ran in were... We're still in debate. I thought it was 60. You thought it was 59. And the second one was 43. So right there, that's 100 yards, and that's just absolutely phenomenal. So congratulations to that young man. Shanley is putting a beat down on any and everybody they play. It's only been 2 weeks, but they put up another 50 spot against Grand Fork Central, who only scored 7. And the Packers took down Fargo South 35-20. The Oak Grove Grovers are 0-2 on the season right now. They lost to Lisbon, and what could just be having a handful of guys out or whatnot. It was 50-0, right. But I think they're going to be looking to improve later on in the year. And of course, Wednesday evening, the Loons, Minnesota United, lost 3-0 to Houston, but they were down 3-0 at half, so they turned it on for whatever reason in the second half. They just couldn't score.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lynx, who Spencer was telling me earlier today, were down at 1:15. And they ended up beating the Dallas Wings 88-75, so they took over there.
It was their sixth double-digit comeback.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. It's exciting. And real quick, before you get your big scores, the Twins yesterday in the 7-inning doubleheader, we hit 2 solo shots to start out the game and won the first game 2-0. And in the second game, we went to a extra 8th inning and won that one 3-2. So we are up 2-0 in a very rare 5-game series against the Detroit Tigers.
And it's a big series because obviously the Twins coming into that had, I believe, a 6-game losing streak. So getting the series win against the White Sox is big, and then getting all these games against Detroit is really important heading down the stretch here. Obviously in the NBA, 2 games last night, Miami beat Milwaukee 115-100, takes a commanding 3-0 lead in that series. Leading to more questions about the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo and his potential future with the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals, Houston beat Los Angeles Lakers 112-97 to take a 1-0 lead in that series. Last night in the NHL, two Game 7s. The Dallas Stars came back and won against Colorado to win 5-4 and win that series. And then Vegas shut out Vancouver 3-0 and won that Game 7 to advance. So you have Vegas taking on Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. In the East, Tampa Bay Lightning are waiting for the winner of tonight's Game 7 matchup between the Flyers and Islanders.
And I saw as well the Dallas Stars, they were down 3-2 against the Colorado Avalanche with under 4 minutes remaining.
Mm-hmm.
And they put one back with about 3.5 to go. And they went to overtime, and they were just able to close it out right there. So props to them for not giving up in that Game 7. And they're rewarded with a trip to the conference finals.
Yeah, and then that should be an interesting matchup. Vegas has played probably the best out of anybody in the Western Conference. Now they get a Dallas team that's really hit their stride. So we'll have to see how that matchup goes, but exactly. Should be entertaining in Western Conference Finals.
Well, the craziest thing about that with the Vegas Golden Knights is they're in their third year of existence, and if they win this, this will they have an opportunity to make their second Stanley Cup Finals appearance in 3 years.
And as someone who's my age, to see a expansion team go to the finals, potentially two out of their first 3 years, I don't even understand how they're able to do it, but they put together a good enough team that first year, and then they just, instead of trying to build through the draft, et cetera, they decided to just keep adding to it and build it right there on the fly, and now they've got one of the best teams in the NHL.
Exactly. The Wild, we've been back for 20 years since 2000, and we've only made one trip to the Western Conference Finals.
Exactly.
And we ended up losing that one. So
I do want to mention quick, too, tonight, Denver and the Los Angeles Clippers, Game 2 on TNT. That's the late game. Clippers lead that series 1-0. An interesting, very close series for NBA fans. Boston and Toronto. Boston leads that series 2-1. OG Anunoby with an incredible last-second, half-second on the clock shot to win that Game 3 to kind of save their season right now.
He really did there, because if they went down 3-0, they'd be in the same predicament as the Bucks.
And that was a tight game, just like the other games. That was... that was probably the game of the playoffs.
Boston and Toronto is a fantastic series. Miami is playing so well against Milwaukee right now. I don't know that Milwaukee can make a comeback in that series, but, you know, entertaining NBA games for
That's really surprised me. I'm not a big Jimmy Butler fan, especially after what he finessed the Wolves for, but good for him. He's really leading that young core.
He's a hell of a player. That's all I can say.
Exactly. You always score big when you call on the Business Pros Advanced Business Methods in West Fargo. They have all the business systems you need to keep your office running at peak performance. They'll make you a winner. Copy, fax, scan, and collate like a pro. With great prices and world-class customer service, take it from us. They are your best solution for office systems. With all the financing options you need, Advanced Business Methods, your winning team for office systems. Call them at 701-282-3151 or stop in and see them at 1515 13th Avenue East in West Fargo. Online at abmnow.com. We're going to take a short break, come back, and we're going to talk a little bit of Twins because we're on a 3-game winning streak. We've won 4 of our last 5 after that 6-game skid you were talking about, and I'm just happy we're winning ball games again. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag. Welcome back on this beautiful Saturday morning. I'm James McCarty, Jay Stedman, Spencer Jost, jamming out. We absolutely love it. Sports are back. This is where we need to be. This is our place. And the Twins, I stand corrected. I forgot. They lost game 1 against the White Sox, and they won the last 2. So we're on a 4-game winning streak. We won 4 in a row after losing 6 in a row.
Why did you type 5-game winning streak?
So we just need to win, 10 more to get back on track?
Well, actually...
They're the top wild card based on the way they've got things set up.
Well, look at the Central, though. We got Indians, White Sox. White Sox were supposed to be the worst team, second to worst.
Exactly. Well, the Tigers, they were .500 until we beat them on that doubleheader yesterday. I mean, there's opportunity where if we're able to beat up on those couple games we have left against the NL Central...
We haven't been able to do anything against the NL Central or the AL Central.
Exactly.
We haven't been able to do anything in the AL.
Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, when we're at home, we're virtually unbeatable. We're 16-4, excuse me.
Wow.
But we're 8-12 on the road.
The games we're supposed to win, we can't win.
Well, that's the one thing I haven't. I mean,
but obviously, they're also division games mostly.
As a very casual baseball fan, that's one thing that hasn't made any sense to me. It's like, when they've played Detroit in the past, or even Chicago for that matter, and they're obviously playing above what their expectations were, you see the Twins take, you know, six games in a row or something like that at home, then they go on the road against the Royals, and they lose 3 out of 4, 2 out of 3. And I'm just scratching my head going, this is the same team, it's the same game. I realize you're in a different town, but there's games you're supposed to win against teams you're supposed to be better than. And I just, any team that you're a fan of, it's tough to see them drop games against teams that they're supposed to beat. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And so the AL Central right now, it is very tightly bunched at the top. And White Sox lead the division for the first time in probably the last century as they're 24-15. My roommate's going to love that. He's a diehard White Sox fan. That's the only reason I said that.
Easy, buddy.
The Indians are a half game out at 23-15, and the Twins are also a half game out at 24-16. The Tigers are now commanding fourth place as they were going into the series, but they're under 500 at 17-19, 5.5 out. And the Royals, who for some odd reason gave the Twins the most trouble of anybody in the division so far this year, are a solid 14-25, 10 games out. It's interesting, but we had that doubleheader, as we said earlier, against the Tigers to start out this five-game series, and we had some early fireworks in Game 1 to lead us to that victory.
The Treasure Island Radio retweet.
And the payoff pitch, a swing and a fly ball into left field and deep. Stewart going back on the track. Stewart at the wall, jumps up, that's gone! Leadoff home run, Polanco! And the Twins take a 1-0 lead. Swing and a drive into center field. That's it deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes. And that ball's gone. Landing inside the Delta Sky 360 suite. And straight away center field. What a start to this doubleheader. Two batters in. 2-0 Twins on homers from Polanco and Donaldson.
It's still weird.
Treasure Island Radio retweet.
And the payoff.
It's still weird to see that not to have John Gordon on the call.
Yeah, well, that's Corey Provis now there. He does a little bit of it, and he does a great job. I think he had an absolute – those calls he had were just phenomenal. And those two home runs lead off the game, he gave us a 2-0 lead, and that's about all she wrote. Randy Dobnak went a strong 5. The bullpen came in, closed out the last two, and we took care of business in game 2 with that extra inning win. And actually, we have a rookie outfielder, so Max Kepler went on the injured list, the IL – for 10 days. He's a little sore, a little tender. They just want to get him healthy. And Brent Rooker, he was the 35th overall pick in 2017, made his major league debut yesterday, getting a couple of starts in the outfield for us. And his first at-bat, he got plunked. So it hurt him a little bit, but he was on base. His career on-base percentage was 1,000. And then in game 2, he got the RBI that won it for us, actually.
Nice.
So
looking ahead at the Twins' schedule, they've got, you know, 3 more against Detroit, a couple against St. Louis, and then they've got a 3-game series against Cleveland, a 4-game series against Chicago White Sox, 3-game set with the Cubs, 2 more against the Tigers, and then they finish off the season with a 3-game set against the Cincinnati Reds at home. Those last 5 games are at home. Obviously, the games against St. Louis are on the road. Then they've the Chicago series. Against the White Sox and the Cubs are both on the road. So those are the ones that you got to kind of keep an eye on. But they get the Indians at home, they get the Tigers, and then, of course, the Reds at the end of the season at home. So hopefully, based on the way they've played at home, those home games, they're going to trend in the right way right at the end of the season. But exactly, it's going to come down to the wire. But the playoff format they have this year, all the first-place teams, all the second-place teams in each division, and then 2 wild cards.
Exactly.
And the last time I looked, the Twins were leading the wild card race by a couple games, but they're also right there with, they're a half game out of first place in their division. So you want to see them get, obviously, first place in the division just to ensure home field for a series, because obviously for this team this year, that's critical for them to do well.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, before I forget, thank you to the Twins and the Treasure Island Baseball Network for that audio of those 2 home run calls.
Oh, that were. Can't beat I don't know. Have you ever? I know Jays can do this, say this, but since you're young, have you been? You went to the Metrodome, right?
When
the
Twins? Are you kidding me? I've went to a handful.
Right. Okay.
I'm young, but so,
he's probably gone to more like Twins and other events.
The reason
down
I
there
say that me. Though is because before and after the game. Now I'm going to be guilty of this. I don't know the whole chant itself, but Twins win. Go. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody can catch up on
We're going to Twins win. We're going to score.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. I didn't know if I was supposed to sing. I didn't want to lose viewers or listeners.
Well, if this is working, I can play it for you.
There we go.
Okay. I have the sound up. It's just going to take me a minute to find it.
Oh, so. Goodness. But before...
I always say he's ready.
Exactly. He's always ready until he's not.
Well, I got to use a separate program. That's
we give him the opportunity when he says he's ready, and then it just absolutely falls apart.
Okay. I got it. So, you ready?
There we go.
This is a little upbeat one.
It is. This is the one I have.
There we go.
No.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Josh Donaldson and Jorge Polanco said yesterday to lead off that game.
Well, wasn't Polanco like 4-for-4?
Yeah, he played really well. And the nice thing is Josh Donaldson just came back from being injured.
Yeah,
after
let's
missing
not
that,
talk about
that
his
month. But, I mean, he didn't miss a beat there. But, I mean, he absolutely put a shot. That was about a 450-foot shot.
You got to think about, as long as you come back from injury, for any team, you're expecting to get on base once or twice. Maybe we're not going to run, start a little rally, something. And he just jumps on, and boom. So I think that's what we kind of need. And like you guys mentioned, we just got to take advantage of the team games. We can't, baseball is baseball. Anything can happen.
Right.
But exactly. We got to, if you can win this game, you got to win it. Find a way,
Exactly. And if you are available 6:10 p.m. tonight, the Twins and Tigers game 3, Tarik Skubal for the Tigers. He's 1-1 with a 6.75 ERA. And the proven to this point this year, I would say the ace of the staff, Kenta Maeda. He's 4-1 in the year with a 2.53 ERA, and he's struck out 48
batters.
Sounds
like you're going to buy us some tickets there. You available or what?
I'd be willing to buy tickets if you know who in Minnesota would say, hey, we can fit some fans in a 40,000 capacity stadium.
Yeah, we'll just get a drone.
Well, exactly. If the St. Paul Saints can put 1,500 in a stadium in St. Paul, how can't we get a couple people in a 40,000?
Well, you'd throw us on top,
Wonder if everybody just, you spend $50 and they stick a webcam in there for you so you can just watch it that way.
Kind of be like the NBA. Ooh, virtual. Mm-hmm. Yay. You see me in the background with Joel jumping with my arms up. Yay.
My question is, is there volume on that? Or is it just fans that have fans?
I'm sure there is.
I think it's kind of set up like when we did. The only problem I have with it is like when I did that Zoom call with the Sirius XM NBA radio.
Yeah.
You're watching it, and if you're watching it on if you have it on the TV in the background, there's a delay. And then it's also the video is real choppy and stuff. So I don't know. I kind of looked into how you got to be one of those fans, but if you're going to watch it over Zoom, it's not going to be
quality. They're all in their computer chairs. You can tell they're not even like, I don't know.
Do I want to look on a 13-inch monitor or do I want to watch on my 70-inch TV at home?
You're right. Get a lazy boy going, kick the feet up, get a little plate.
Is that
going.
An invite for tonight? Is the grill going?
I'll buy the meat.
Look at that.
I'm a grill master right here.
Yeah, there we go. I love it. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. There is a Hall of Fame running back who is on the market now. We're going to talk about that a little bit. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.
Get things done. Rushing till life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die. But
I love that right there. Right when I was hearing Rushing, all I thought of was a former Vikings running back, Adrian Peterson, who the Washington football team decided they didn't need, even though they have now cut their number one and two running backs here this fall so far.
Well, Darius Juice.
Geis,
whatever you want to call him. Juice.
I
love how it's a G and you say juice.
That'd be a good name for a running back. But Geis,
He had a situation,
number one.
That was an incident, yeah.
But number two, he hasn't been healthy since he's been with the Washington football team.
Because what is he? This year two or three would have been for him?
I think
three.
It was
this would have been three.
Yeah, what, he played 6 games in 2 years? That's a Dalvin Cook in the first 2 years kind of thing.
Well, here's the thing with the NFL, though, right now, is that there's always a number of kind of big name players that get cut, and it's not always for production or anything. A lot of times it's financial. I mean, and some of these teams would like to trade these players to get a little bit of assets in return
for them. Compensation.
But it just doesn't happen. I mean, what's his name? Rosen from the Miami Dolphins, who was a first-round pick in 2018. Looks like he's going to be...
He was cut.
Obviously, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, they cut Leonard Fournette, who turned around and signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he had over 1,000 yards rushing last year. So there are all kinds of situations like this. What's weird this year is that we're not seeing any preseason
games. They said they couldn't get anything for Fournette.
Right, but what I'm saying is that there's no preseason games to really kind of get a look at these guys.
Right,
we're taking the words of reporters that are at training camp and just assuming that, you know, that's it. We don't know what else is going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. And before I forget, do not forget the top of the hour, 10:06. We have trivia sponsored by Ole Miss Pizzeria. We have three questions. They are all NFL rushing related. And whoever calls into the studio line 701-271-1100 and answers one of those questions first right, they win a $20 gift certificate to get some free pizza. And I say you can't argue with that kind of logic.
Oof, duh.
And also in the next segment, about 10 minutes here, we're going to meet with West Fargo Cheyenne's head football coach, Jeremy Newton, so we can break down that game against North, their 2-0 start, and some very prominent young men that are looking – like they're determined to try and rebound and win the state title this year.
Yeah, they had a great season last year, lost in the state championship game to Bismarck Century, the dynasty that we got going on here in North Dakota for football. And, you know, they want another shot at the champs, I think.
And I think with that, the ferocious defense they have, they had Kellen Entz, I believe it was. Yep, it was Kellen Entz. I had to make sure. The corner had a couple interceptions yesterday, so their defense was firing on all cylinders. The offense was firing on all cylinders, and They're ready to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to football, Tyus Jones, the point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies now.
Going back to football.
Exactly.
What?
That didn't make the most sense there. He tweeted out yesterday, bring AP home.
I've seen some
comments.
How
do you feel about that?
There's no team in Memphis.
Yeah. What football team are you talking about?
It was a tough transition there. So the words didn't come out the way I thought in my head.
I've always told, man, even right or wrong, you own it. Pretend like it was supposed to be.
The thing is, it was very intentional. It's just, when I said going back to football, my first word was basketball. Yeah, that's where I went wrong.
You went, going back to football, point guard.
What you did was you paused and you gave room for me and Chase to jump
in. That's a good point.
Exactly. You messed up. You opened the door for us.
No,
Tyus Jones, obviously from Minnesota, wants AP back home. Is it a good idea? You've got a couple guys there already. You've got Dalvin Cook. You've got his backup that actually played pretty well when Dalvin's been hurt.
Exactly.
But as obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are showing everybody, it doesn't matter. Just keep bringing in more talent. I think Bruce Arians, the coach down in Tampa, basically said is that that's one of those positions you cannot have enough good guys because somebody eventually is going to go down with an injury and you're going to be bringing
them. Why do you say it like that?
Because someone's going to go down with an injury. I'm talking about the Bucks. I wasn't talking about Dalvin. I mean, back off.
The first couple of years, it was tough.
We're still walking on eggshells with him, right?
The question I always have about Dalvin right now is that the Vikings went out and made a trade for a defensive end.
When we needed offensive tackle.
And you need offensive line help. Riley Reiff restructured his contract.
Congrats to him because he said he was like, I'm going to leave then.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm thankful for that. He's one of those guys where at this point I wouldn't say he's a top, you know, 5 or 6 tackle in football. He's kind of that middle of the road, but the fact that he's willing to restructure.
He's one of those bottom top tier guys.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like that, that 13, 15,
the question,
16 in there.
The question is going to be, are you going to have enough money to pay Dalvin Cook what he wants to get paid? And it's hard to find out what he's worth because of the injury history he's had over the course of his young career.
Exactly.
And so what have you done for me lately?
And when he's been healthy, he has been great for that offense.
Arguably a top 5 back in football.
Yeah.
When healthy, it's just the thing of getting him healthy there. But what I did see, Darren Doogie Wolfson, he kind of right away for fans that are thinking maybe Adrian Peterson's an option, kind of debunked it saying that the Vikings, in all capitals, love Alexander Mattison, the second year back out of Boise State. And for everything I've seen from him, he is a nice, strong downhill runner. He's got a little bit of shiftiness to him. I love having him there, but like you're saying, you can never have too much depth at a position where you get beat down into the ground all day, every day.
Here's my question, though. Because Adrian Peterson was getting the bulk of the playing time in Washington, I believe, the last couple seasons.
Yep, he had over 1,900 yards, they said, in the 2 years he was there.
I don't know that, in theory, Adrian Peterson wants to go to a team to be a third string.
Exactly.
Because that was kind of his thing. He was with the Saints, and they traded him. I don't remember how it went.
It was after like 4 or 5 weeks.
But, I mean, I don't remember where he went. He went from the Saints to
Arizona.
Went to Arizona.
Yeah, for the season.
And kind of, you know, resurrected his career. But he went to Washington because he wanted to play. Exactly. And I don't think he wants to go to any – I would assume that he wouldn't want to go to any team where he's going to have to sit behind not only a starter, but sit behind a couple guys to wait for his time. He still feels, even at age 35, that he is a capable starting running back in the NFL, and he wants playing time.
Exactly. You know?
So he's not looking for a contract for money. He wants playing time. He wants to show that what he can do. I think he's still eyeing the all-time rushing leader, Emmitt Smith. I think he's still trying to get to that. I don't remember how close he was. I don't remember if he's still...
Yeah, we may have to do a little bit of research at the break there because I'm not too sure on that. All I know is it seems as though... You can definitely tell he's dropped off a bit because he's getting up there, just the wear and tear of the position. But the fact that when most people say your shelf life as a running back, age 30,
yep,
get out of here, you're done for. Well, he is 35 going on 36 and he... still rush for 1,000. You know, well, he's got around 1,000 yards each the last 2 years still.
Yeah. Well, Adrian Peterson, is, as we've known ever since he came up to Minnesota, he's just a physical freak. I mean, he is just, he's not the norm. You know, he's not the guy that falls off career-wise at the age of 30. He might have had a dip, but that might have been based on usage, maybe some minor injuries at that time. Exactly. Obviously, he can still produce.
And with that, I think we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to meet with West Fargo Cheyenne head football coach Jeremy Newton to break down that dominant win they had yesterday against the North Spartans. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.
Working on a nightmare, trying to lose the awkward teenage blues.
Welcome back to our final segment of hour number one here on Flag Sports Saturday as we're approaching 9:48 in the morning. Thanks for tuning in and joining us. I'm James McCarty with Jay Stenman and Spencer Jost, and we are pleased to welcome the West Fargo Cheyenne head football coach, Jeremy Newton. How are you doing today, sir?
I got nothing here.
Can you hear us? Oh, a little bit of...
I can't hear anything. Hold on.
All right.
You're going to relock me in. I can't hear anything.
So we're just having a little bit of difficulty with the phone. So, but
he's on the phone.
There we go. So while we get that figured out, we're going to go back a little bit to talking with the Vikings, with Riley Reiff getting that restructured contract. That really does help out the Vikings overall, I would say. So he went from $11 million, and he had an emotional kind of exit on Monday with the team. And his agent was able to restructure it down to $6 million. And with incentives, staying healthy, making some good plays, he can get up to $8 million. So he can essentially earn two of it back, hopefully. Right. So, already, I believe we have Jeremy Newton locked in now. How are you doing today, sir?
I got nothing.
Alrighty.
New phone system, new problems.
Working out the kinks, that's all right. We're working slowly on that. Well, Spencer tries to get that figured out. Thank you to him. I mean, he does above and beyond, honestly, with all the things he's in charge of.
Try it again. Coach, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's odd.
Every time it goes to us, then he can't hear. He seems to be able to hear.
Exactly. Yeah, it seems like in the studio, Spencer's able to get him. It's just a little technical thing. That's all right. We're working on it, trying to get it figured out, but... With Riley Reiff taking that pay cut, that was what actually opened up the opportunity for this Yannick Ngakoue, trade
right.
to make that happen, because he had to sign a franchise tenure actually with Jacksonville for the trade to happen.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be for just shy of 18. I believe it was about $17.8 million.
But he took less.
And
that.
He said, if you send me to Minnesota, I'll do it for 13.
Mm-hmm.
So him taking that $5 away, Riley Reiff taking that $5 million pay cut, that opened up the opportunity right there to slip him in there. And giving up a second-round pick and a conditional fifth in which it can go all the way up to a third. So in order for it to be a third rounder, we would have to win the Super Bowl, and he would have to be a first-team Pro Bowler, which I'm very hopeful that we don't have that third-round pick in 2022, because that means that we are on top of the NFL landscape.
Right. And I think, too, for Riley Reiff, though, it's one of those situations where they don't necessarily want to take a pay cut. I mean, the difference in the leagues, like, say, for the NBA, all those contracts are guaranteed. NFL, you can be cut at any point in time, and you're not going to get paid. So he said his emotional farewell. He didn't want to leave, but, you know, he wasn't willing, really, in a sense, to take a pay cut. So they were going to cut him, and then they finally came to an agreement to restructure it, and Riley Reiff gets another chance to stay with the Minnesota Vikings and try and make a playoff push again this year and make a deep playoff push. Obviously, they won a playoff game last year.
Exactly, and I'm one of those fans where I like Riley Reiff. I love it. He's one of those localer type kids. He went to the University of Iowa. He came back to Minnesota, wanted to play with us. I thought he was a little overpaid at that $11 million, and I was thinking, because I can't remember if he's on his – he's going on to age 32. He's 31, I believe, right now, if I remember right. He's in his early 30s. And just with some of these younger pass rushers, like up until we got him, you know, you got Danielle Hunter on the Vikings and Yannick Ngakoue, a lot of those younger-type talent, and it's spread out all throughout the NFL. You're seeing a lot of these young pass rushers. And it just seems that he's a step slower. So I was thinking 11's a lot. Yeah. I'm very comfortable with 6. It's tough to, you know, transition to a different position with anybody. Right. I really was curious to see, and of course, without having a preseason, it's not going to work.
Right.
I would kind of want to try and slip Riley Reiff into that guard position because he's a big, strong dude. Take out those defensive tackles, and, you know, Ezra Cleveland, he needs to work on his strength a little bit, you know, get that up. But he's a very big, and quick tackle, specimen right. there, and I think that would be a good opportunity for a transition over, and he can learn early on under Riley Reiff if we could transition him into guard, especially with that, you know, $5 million pay cut.
And you don't normally get a lot of rookie offensive linemen that really transition in right away, especially some of these players, some of them from smaller schools. Like the Buccaneers have Alex Kappa, who was a tackle in Division II football. He had a transition last year to playing guard in the NFL. So one of the reports I read on him as an example is that he's really kind of reshaped his body and got to the point where now he's like an NFL guard shape and he knows the position better. So it's going to take time for Ezra Cleveland there, and I think having Riley Reiff there gives them the flexibility so that you don't have to just throw Cleveland in there right away. You can kind of work him in. But like you said, we don't have any preseason games. We don't know how Cleveland's working. I know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got their own rookie right tackle. You don't know, in a sense, how he's looking because it's all been going up against, you know, teammates. We don't know how it's going to be come a week from tomorrow.
Exactly. I mean, you can be in, for the Vikings, the TCO Performance Center. You can be as aggressive as you want. You can get the biggest, strongest, you know, position coach out there throwing these dummies or trying to barrel through these defensive linemen and all these big NFL-sized players as much as you want. Nothing compares to putting the shoulder pads on, putting the helmet on, and having somebody from Green Bay or somebody from Chicago that wants to essentially terrorize you and get a victory. It's just, it doesn't compare to that. So you're not getting that, you know, the adrenaline rush. You're not getting the heartbeat up. You're not getting everything you want to go. You don't get this just big, essentially, I'm going to go and I'm going to take you down because I'm going to show you that we're better until week one. And it's going to be very interesting watching those kinks get worked out. Well, at noon next Sunday against the Packers.
It's going to be one of those things where it's kind of like, it's not even like college football where a lot of the FBS teams schedule a smaller FCS school or a smaller, you know, a group of five type of team. This is, you know, Packers-Vikings week one, Bucks-Saints week one. These are some important divisional matchups.
Exactly.
If, you know, the Vikings want to win the division, you know, Green Bay is their main competition for the division. The Bucs, if they want to make a statement, they got to go up against the defending division champs. And, you know, there's no room for error. Every game is going to be important, and you've got no preseason to kind of work out some of the kinks. The Bucs got a new quarterback, and I don't know how many new running backs. I think 17.
Yeah, well, you have, I mean, from the position player spot, I mean, you have Chris Godwin, and you have Mike Evans.
Yes.
The other, if you're looking at it, so five linemen, those two. So the other four starters that are going to be out there on the offensive side of the ball, along with two or three other when it comes to the number three receiver and it comes to the other two running backs, they're all fresh and brand new, and they haven't played a live snap for the Bucs in that system.
Right. So you've got Gronk. You've got O.J. Howard, who's been often injured. Cameron Brate's still there. Obviously, we've got Fournette and McCoy at running back. The other wide receivers that they have on the team, Justin Watson's entering his second or third year. Scotty Miller, supposedly, according to reports, looks like a different player from his rookie year last year when he was hurt with a hamstring.
Yep.
Then there's a fifth string wide receiver. The fifth wide receiver is somebody I'm not even sure who it is. I can't remember off the top of my head. So there's a lot of question marks there, and there's the potential there on that type of offense to take advantage of a two tight end set that Tom Brady has loved to do, especially when there was a certain two tight ends up in New England. So they have the potential to be a fantastic offense,
exactly.
But you don't know what you're going to get because there's been no live action. And with the Vikings, I mean, you're coming off a playoff team last year. You've got Kirk Cousins back. You got Dalvin Cook back healthy. You got Thielen, but you got that big switch going from Stephon Diggs to the rookie. And sometimes rookie wide receivers take a season or a half a season to really acclimate mm-hmm. and establish themselves.
I mean, there's only a very seldom few. Like, I mean, you're looking at Julio Jones. You're looking at Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. who come and make an immediate impact. And
exactly.
Justin Jefferson, I think right now, he's going to be settling in at that number three, and I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm perfectly fine with that. We have a couple of guys. Honestly, B.C. Johnson,
mm-hmm.
he was a rookie out of Colorado State last year. I loved every single thing I saw from him. He was a seventh-round pick, barely got drafted, and I thought he has this potential to, you know, he has a very high ceiling compared to what a lot of the scouts, I think, thought of him.
Right.
You know, he had 300 yards receiving last year, a couple of touchdowns. Not a lot of reps, but there's talks around the Vikings camp with some reporters, and I've heard some rumors with the coaching staff saying there's some serious competition, and
yeah.
he can fight for the number two spot right now.
That's why the big talk that I mentioned to you during the week down in Tampa is that Tyler Johnson has not performed well in training camp, and he's been often hurt down there. So it's one of those things where is he going to make the cut? Is he on the bubble? Is he going to get put on IR? Are they going to keep him on the team to make sure that no one else tries to snag him? Because mm-hmm. Tyler Johnson at the University of Minnesota was one of the best wide receivers in the country.
Exactly.
But you've got a guy like a 6'4 Justin Watson out of the Ivy League who looks good this year. Scotty Miller is like a Wes Welker, short, fast wide
exactly.
receiver.
He's a stud
on. And he's really clicking well with Tom Brady. So, you know, what do some of these teams do to keep some of that talent that they've drafted? Do they just stash on a practice squad? Because there's teams everywhere. We don't know what these other players are doing because they're not getting those preseason reps. Because that was the most exciting part to me for preseason was seeing these third, fourth string guys get a chance to shine, you know, in mm-hmm. preseason.
And that's the thing. Early on, I mean, Tyler Johnson, he was looking. I really thought if somebody wanted to reach a bit, they'd get him late second round. But I thought he was a lock for that middle third round
Absolutely.
Pick.
Absolutely.
And he fell to the fifth. And the Tampa Bay Bucs, I just can't imagine, wouldn't have been any more ecstatic and excited about it. I just feel it's tough to part ways with him if they were to make that decision.
Yeah.
But if they do, you know,
well,
the Vikings,
and I can,
come back home, bud. We love you here still.
And I made contact with one of the reporters for Pewter Report. I can kind of tell you what I discussed with him later on in the show.
And we're going to take a short break. Coming back at the top of the hour, we have trivia. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.